It came in sort of like on a broad front, you know, in three waves. And we're just totally unexpected. They hit us, bang.
The first inkling you had that I had. The
first inkling I had was when I heard something hitting a plane. It turned out to be 30 millimeter shells or something. And the first I saw, before we got hit, I saw these small flak bursts in front of us. And I'd never seen flak like that. They seemed like brown basketballs right in front of us, about the size of a basketball. And they were very close, and I thought, my God, I never saw flak like that. It didn't dawn on me that it was fighter cannons coming from behind, see? They must have been time fuses or something on them, because they blew up maybe on contact, too. And anyway, shortly after I saw that, I didn't know what it was. I'm looking all over the sky, couldn't see any fighters or anything, because they're coming from behind. And then I started feeling jolts hitting the plane. There was one underneath the turret, and there was some in the left wing, and the next thing I knew, the left wing's on fire. And we knew what was. About that time, this fighter plane came over the top of the plane. It couldn't have been, I'd say, maybe 10 or 15 feet above us. That's how close he was. And I tried to get the turret trained on him, and nothing worked. The turret was just dead. So the only thing I could think of was that the hydraulics were shot.
Now, what were you wearing?
Well, we always had flak suits, but I never could wear a flak suit, especially in a turret. I couldn't get in. You couldn't get in a turret with a flak suit on the average guy. Maybe a little guy could, but I never wore a flak suit. I didn't even wear a flak helmet, but I was just in there with my uniform, my heated flying suit. I had this flying suit that I was wearing that day was a brand new model that the British had come up with, and it was kind of a tan, and instead of having a liner with little wires in it, the wires were in the jacket itself, which was sort of padded, and the pants, and of course you had your little boots that you wore underneath your regular flying boots, and it was a much more comfortable jacket, and also it was served as an outer piece of wear, you know. The only thing that was bad about it was that I forgot my GI shoes. I should have had them with me, because I lost my flying boots when I bailed out. They came right off and took off, and there I was in my stocking feet. And to go back to when we were hit, shortly after that fighter plane went over, and I looked out and saw the wing on fire, and we started nosing down. And at the same time, I looked over towards the lead squadron, and I could see at least two planes flying along with on fire. And finally, they dropped off, and one of them, I think, was the lead plane. Anyway,
the lead plane of the
lead squadron. See, we were flying. The lead squadron was actually the 700 squadron.
Right.
The high right squadron, which we were in, was a 702nd. The high right was a 701st, and the low left was a 703rd. Now, what confused a lot of people later on, trying to figure out who was leading that, was the fact that Captain Chilton, who was a lead pilot in the lead plane, was from the 703rd. He borrowed the 703rd lead plane, one of them, to lead the group.
Oh.
Major McCoy was flying in the co-pilot seat with Captain Chilton. Now, in the deputy lead was Captain Webb Eubelhauer. He was also a radar plane. And in the co-pilot seat was Captain Graham, Jim Graham. And that's the way it was. Now they had another plane in the lead squadron that day. I think it was Houtman from the 703rd. And Houtman, see, evidently the 700 must have been down on planes or something, because there were two planes with the 703rd flying in the 700 squadron that day. And when we took off, there were supposed to be 39 planes to take off.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the planes, they ran off the runway and tore up a tire, and they couldn't take off because their tire was shot. What was the name of that plane? That was Schneider.
Schneider.
And the 703rd, he aborted first because he tore a tire up and never got to take off. Now, the other three planes that aborted were McClelland, Frost, and Wilkins, all of the 701st. And I don't know the story. According to what one of the guys that was on McClellan's plane, a fellow named Barron, he said they got near the target and they got hit by flak. That's why they aborted. So they turned around somewhere near the target. They never got shot down, but they got back to the base, but they lost an engine or something from flak. Wilkins and Frost, I have no idea what happened to them. Everyone else was accounted for. There were 39 supposed to take off. Four aborted. So that meant that 35 planes actually dropped their bombs. And of those 35 planes, 25 were shot down in Germany. And two were shot down in France, or crashed in France, and with no casualties. One crashed in Belgium with one casualty. In Krivik, the only one from the 702nd to get back, lost one man in his crash. And there were two planes that made it back to England and made emergency landings at Manston. One of them was Dewey, the other was yes. Jackson Mercer. And the four planes that landed at Tibbenham were Smith, Donald H. Smith of the 701st, Paul Swafford of the 701st, Isom of the 703rd, and Smith, Swafford, Isom, and Eubelhauer.